Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We continue in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, talking about making the most out of life. How to make your life meaningful and fulfilling. The very point of this entire book of Ecclesiastes, the very purpose for the investigation, the thorough investigation which King Solomon made into the various areas of life. And he's now getting to the place where he's giving us the answer to the question, what is it that makes life meaningful, fulfilling, and happy? And as you remember, he's already told us that none of the pursuits of life that many people think will answer that question or will satisfy that longing will accomplish that unless God is your first priority. When God is given his rightful place, meaning the place of priority, which is the only place that is his rightful place, then a lot of these other things really do add some richness to life. But when God is denied his rightful place, none of these things are going to accomplish what people think they're going to accomplish. Money's not going to do it. Pleasure, pursuing various kinds of pleasure are not going to do it. Knowledge is not going to do it. Whatever it may be, there are a lot of different areas, but whatever it may be, nothing is going to bring fulfillment to life until God is given first place. And then when he's given first place, there are a lot of areas of life that bring rich fullness, rich dimensions that are little extras along the way. Nothing can replace God. Nothing can rival God. And if God is in his rightful place, we really don't need any of these other things to find life fulfilling. But when he is in his rightful place, these other things are given by God graciously to add some additional richness to life, to add, as it were, a little frosting to the cake. So we want to continue pursuing this in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and thank you for joining us today, which is Friday, December 11, and thank you for remembering that we are in need of your financial help. Please consider a special gift to the Beacon Broadcast in the month of December. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 gives us four items that will help make more fulfillment in life, will help to create greater fulfillment in life. The first one, submit to God's inscrutable sovereignty. That's first, that's foremost. Number two, pursue life's intended fullness. Once God is given his rightful place, once it is decided that God is God, he is sovereign, he is ruler, he has a right to rule. He has a right to rule according to how he decides to rule, not according to how we think he ought to rule. Once we get that settled and yield to God his rightful place, then God will give us many things to enjoy. As we read elsewhere in the New Testament, God, I think it's Paul in the I think 1 Timothy, I'll have to look it up to be sure, but he tells us, God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Well, that's written to God's people. Unbelievers don't really have the capacity to enjoy these things. They seek them, they pursue them, they grasp after them, and they always prove to be elusive. Just so much wind, so much effort without finding fulfillment. But when God is in his rightful place, then God gives other things which will make life meaningful. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. And so we read in verse 7 of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. What is that talking about? Well, another way of putting that is, go ahead and put on your good clothes. Don't be afraid to wear them if God has provided them. Let your garments always be white. White would be the best garments, the dress-up garments, and the ones that we are maybe reluctant to wear because, after all, we might get it dirty. And we do, don't we? Even as I talk about this, I'm thinking about a pair of dress slacks that I have in my closet that I don't wear very often. They're not white, but they're very light colored. Beautiful linen slacks. I bought them a number of years ago. I wear them only occasionally, and I really should wear them more often. I own them. I have them. Of course they're going to get dirty at times. Of course they're going to wear out at some point if I wear them enough. At the rate I'm going, I'll never wear them out. Of course they're going to get soiled because of their light color. They're going to get soiled maybe beyond the ability to get them clean, and they'll have to be discarded. So what? What good are they doing hanging in the closet and never being used? I'm preaching to myself now. Why do I do that? I don't know. Why do you do that? I don't know. But let your garments always be white. Let your head lack no oil. Oil on the head was kind of like, dressing the hair. Whatever that represents in different times and cultures and places. But when you dressed up, you put oil on your head in Bible days. Well, go ahead and do that. Don't hold back from doing that if God has provided it. Go ahead and utilize God's provision and enjoy it while you're able. The time will come when you won't be able to. Isn't that true? I got a Facebook message from one of my old high school buddies the other day. He lives in a far western state. I haven't seen him since high school, so that goes back a long time, but we keep touch by Facebook, and I'm glad we're able to do that. And he made some remark about how he wished he was back in his 20s again instead of being in his early 70s, as he and I both are. And I responded to that and said, well, I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying life in the 70s. And he wrote back to say, well, I am too, but with a whole lot more aches and pains than I had in my 20s. And I had to concede that that's true. And what I'm saying is, there are a lot of things that I don't do anymore, either because I can't or because I don't really enjoy them like I did when I was younger. Sure, I could do them if I really wanted to, I suppose, but I don't want to anymore. My body just isn't up to it. A lot of things I used to enjoy. I used to play a lot of tennis when I was younger. I'd love to be able to do that again, but I don't. I swam regularly for exercise, daily at one time in my life for a number of years. I finally gave that up. I just can't do that anymore comfortably. I know some people can, but I got to the place where I can't. My body just won't let me do that anymore. Now, I could extend this on ad infinitum, and I'm not going to do that, but the point is, take advantage of the things that God gives while you can. That's what we're talking about. Pursue life's intended fullness. Enjoy your life to the fullest. And you can do that, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, when you accept your standing in God's grace. And this only works, this ability to enjoy life to the fullest only works if you are a child of God and if you are standing in the grace of God. But if you are, go to it. Pursue life with zeal. Pursue your opportunities with zeal. Verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. In other words, when life is gone, life's opportunities are gone. Now, there's for a child of God, there's an even better life beyond the grave, and we look forward to that. We believe it. We know it's true. We know that there are riches of joy, fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord that we haven't even begun to understand and can't until we leave this life. And so, of course, we believe that and we're looking forward to a better life to come. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be taking advantage of the simple pleasures of this life as God has provided them. Why shouldn't we do that? And what are we talking about? How to make your life meaningful and fulfilling. If you have some kind of a emotional, psychological hang-up that makes it difficult or impossible for you to enjoy the good things that God provides, then there is something wrong with your thinking, and you need to get over that. Enjoy what God provides while you can. The time is coming when you won't be able to. Agreed? Isn't that the truth? You know it's true, so act like it. This is really what Jesus was saying in John chapter 9. Remember in that chapter about his healing the man born blind? And he said to his disciples in verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. What is he saying? He's saying the day is coming when I won't be here to do this. The day is coming when I will not be around to heal blind people. The day is coming when I will no longer be performing the things upon the earth that I'm doing now. So I've got to seize every day that I have upon the earth as an opportunity to accomplish the good things that God has for me now, because the night is coming when I'll not be able to do it, and it's coming for you too. He didn't say that's just for me. He's saying that's for everybody. The night is coming not only when I cannot work, not the way I'm working now. Obviously, he's going to continue to work from heaven, but the day is coming, or the night is coming, not when I cannot work, but the night is coming when no man can work. This is true of everybody. So, seize the opportunities. Seize the good things of life that God provides and enjoy them while you can. Because every earthly pleasure should neither be denied nor begrudgingly enjoyed. It ought to be embraced and enjoyed to the fullness, enjoyed to its fullness. If you are indeed a child of God, and if God is truly first place in your life, and you're not making an idol out of any of these things, and you're not making them your main life's pursuit, because God is the main pursuit of your life. So when all of that's in its place, then by all means, enjoy what God has provided and thank Him for it and give Him the glory. And that's how to make your life meaningful and fulfilling. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.